Today, my message, I'm going to talk about family and prayer. We've been going through this whole year on talking on prayer, and so I want to interject this message to deal with this. And if you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. I want to tell you, parenting is, I could say in my life, it is by far the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. And it still remains to be a difficult thing. I'm 7 years in now. Elise turned 7 this past October. And I'm not saying this to be humble or anything like that. I still barely know what I'm doing. It is tough. And so because it's so tough, we need God's help every step of the way. And so we're going to talk in this end. Before we get into the scriptures, Kenny, you ready? I've got a video, and you guys know my penchant. I love rap music. I know it sounds really weird. It's because I can't sing. And people expect me to sing well because they like the sound of my voice, but I'm actually a horrible singer. And so I rap once in a while when I was younger. I'm not going to do it for you today, but I found this parent rap on the internet. I thought it was hilarious. And if you're a parent, you're going to watch this thing, and wow, you're just going to be like, yeah. That's so true. Word. If you're not a parent, just enjoy, okay? And so let's watch this.
Don't make me count to 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. It's the parent rap, y'all. We may spend most of our time chasing toddlers down, but we still know how to rock the hizzle.
I don't even know what you just said.
We used to be cool, back in the day, back on the block, watching PG-13 movies, staying up way after dark. Then we had a couple shorties, and now we're really flossy, cause now we be rolling with our own little posse in the minivan, or in our little wagon. Let me throw it to moms, cause the little one is sagging.
I used to bling it up, I used to dress real shoe, now I accessorize the food that's already been chewed, and that's alright. I make this diaper bag look good when I'm walking through the mall trying to wrangle my brood. My PB&Js will set your world on fire. I could make you mac and cheese blindfolded on a wire. I'm wiping the doo-doo, kissing the boo-boos, got them eyes in the back of my head. I see all you do, using your full name so you know I ain't playing. And that's why all my kiddos, they keep saying,
Mom, Mom, she's the bomb, rocking all night till the break of dawn. Cooking MP so I'll grow up strong. Got my second seatbelt if we crash head on.
Dad, Dad, he's the man. Working real hard to support the clan. Trading in his Porsche for an old sedan. Raising those brows if we get out of hand.
When it comes to Candyland, I'm a stone cold player. Helping out with the homework, I'm an algebra slayer. Wrestle car seats into place without spilling my mug. If I tuck you in at night, you'll be as snug as a bug. Then I'm off in the morning to make that cheese. You may not know this yet, but it doesn't grow on trees. Now mama, take it please. What? Take it.
I'm dropping timeless like they're hot, potty training on my tots. Washing all the pants and pots, tying little shoes and knots. Giving knowledge to your brain like if your friendship off a train. You don't have to do the same, now get your toys out of the rain. I'm cleaning every spill, cutting coupons like a bill. If you need parental skill, now you know we are for real. You don't think our rhymes are ill, boy? Then you're grounded for a mil.
Mom, Mom, she's legit. Making us chill when we pitch a fit. Telling us to share and never to hit. If you can't say something nice, put a sock in it.
Dad, Dad, he's the guy. Never gets tired of playing I Spy. With a constant barrage of kids asking why. And he always pretends he needs another tie.
You know money doesn't grow on trees. Why buy the cow if the milk is free? This won't hurt you as much as it hurts me. If you want dessert, eat another veggie. Close that door, you weren't born in a stable. Sit up straight and kiss your Aunt Mabel. Close your mouth when you chew. Get your elbows off the table. Mom and Dad of the year, check it, that's the label.
It's the parent rap, y'all.
And it's a parent.
We're great parents. Mom and Daddy in the house.
Mom and Daddy own the house. Mom and Daddy need to clean the house.
Keep your hands to yourself, boy. Don't make me stop this beat. I'll do it. I'll pull this beat right over.
Amen. Some of you guys that don't have kids, just wait. Just wait. You're going to understand it very well. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to talk about husbands and wives and their relationship and how that relates to family. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1 through 9. And so in your Bible, just follow along with us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe their chaste and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Let me read that same translation, Eugene Peterson's translation. It might be a little easier for you to understand. This is from The Message. This is what Eugene Peterson writes as he translates 1 Peter 3, 1 through 9. The same goes for you, wives. Be good wives to your husbands, responsive to their needs. There are husbands who, indifferent as they are to any words about God, will be captivated by your life of holy beauty. What matters is not your outer appearance, the styling of your hair, the jewelry you wear, the cut of your clothes, but your inner disposition. Cultivate inner beauty, the gentle, gracious kind that God delights in. The holy women of old were beautiful before God that way and were good, loyal wives to their husbands. Sarah, for instance, taking care of Abraham, would address him as my dear husband. You'll be true daughters of Sarah if you do the same, unanxious and unintimidated. The same goes for you, husbands. Be good husbands to your wives. Honor them, delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages, but in this new life of God's grace, you're equals. Treat your wives, then, as equals so your prayers don't run aground. Summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you, no exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for our beautiful kids, God, that you've given to us in our community. And we are so enamored with them, God. They're so beautiful, God. They're so lovable, Lord. And I know that it's just a sign, God, of your goodness and your faithfulness to the parents and to our whole community, God. And so, Lord, teach us, Lord, how to love our kids, God. Teach us how to raise our kids well, Lord, in a way and in a manner that's worthy of you, Father. And so to that end, God, we ask that you speak to us through the scriptures, Lord. Release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Lord, help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. We thank you, Lord. We love you in this place. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 Like I mentioned before, before I started sharing, you know, marriage in itself is tough. It's a lot of dying that needs to take place. Raising great kids is even tougher. I don't know if I ever kind of shared my little spiel about discipleship with you, but I think a lot of times in life, you don't necessarily have to just take a discipleship class to be discipled by God. I think in the natural order of our living lives, God builds a system in life that naturally disciples us. And each part of the discipleship process is really the same common denominator, which is death, which is a dying of self. If you're unwilling to die to yourself in marriage, you're not going to have a good marriage. If you're unwilling to die as a couple to yourself in raising kids, it's going to be very difficult to raise kids in that way. And this seems to be this common denominator. And there are stages of life that God brings us into It's that we learn how to die. We learn how to move in this death. It happens when you start working and all of a sudden you're not the boss anymore. It actually starts when you start going to school and you got to do stuff for other people, listen to your instructors and whatnot. It goes into your work. It goes into relationships. It goes into your marriage. And then it goes into having kids. And the process keeps going on and on and on in our life. It's God's natural way to disciple us through life. And part of this discipleship process is the real key, and what I want to talk about here today is raising great kids and what that's about. The scriptures tell us here that it's so important that, first of all, that husbands and wives, that we love and respect each other, because even to the fact that if we don't, then as men, our prayers are hindered. That's something that we don't really talk about so much when we talk about spiritual warfare and these kind of things about effective prayers. But if, as husbands, if we don't treat our wives well, the Bible tells us that our prayers get hindered. And so, you know, I because this is a dedication service, I don't want to spend so much talking about that. But my simple question today is, how can we raise great kids for God? And I just have three simple points. And I wanted to keep it short today because I know there's a lot going on. So three simple points for us. How can we raise great kids for God? Number one, parents, love your spouses in front of your kids. Love your spouses in front of your kids. Let me give some advice to dads. Very, very straightforward. You know my style. First of all, every husband that's here, every father that's here, your wife is first. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, especially their husband or man. Say, hey, good looking, your wife is first, or your future wife is first. Now, see, it's a different message. I'm going to address the women, the wives, in a moment. But for the men, wife is first. And then work. Okay? Wife is first, and then work. Remember in the book of Genesis, he lays it out very, very easily. God created man from the dust of the ground, and he formed him out of, and breathed in him the ruach, the spirit, and he became a living soul, a living being, a spirit-filled being. Next thing he did is he created the women. And likewise, and he created the woman out of the man, and so we have this idea of women are twice refined. People always ask me, P-Sam, which is the better sex? It's very obvious, isn't it? It's the women. Very obvious. Because we are just, I know it sounds bad, but we are literally dirt bags. Made out of the dust of the ground. And so if someone calls you a dirt bag, it's biblical. As a man, okay? Just want you to know that. And so, but in that context, so a man was created out of dust. He refined the dust. He took from the ground and he made it perfect. And so then in context, and then he made woman out of something that he already perfected. And so women are twice perfected or twice refined, which is a pretty profound statement and understanding when we get to that place. And so, and then God gave Adam work to do. It's the biblical order. It's the women, the wife, and then work. And so, and this is a huge ordeal that we go through in Hong Kong, because I know your jobs demand so much of you. And I talked about this a few weeks ago about this radical middle of how to be faithful in the family and also how to be a good husband and father and, you know, and all these things. But you have to run in this realm. It's how God created us. And see, there's this myth that I want to deal with us today. There's this myth of, you know what, but you know, honey, I am working hard for the family so we can have this, that, and this. I want to tell you, that's a myth. It's a myth. If you're working hard for your family and you have to neglect your family to do that, then let me tell you, you're primarily operating out of fear instead of faith. And that's really the big issue there. And so it's like, well, I got to put in all these extra hours or else I won't get promoted or whatnot. That's fear-based living. Faith-based living is what? I'm going to be sure to the promises of God. God has given me this job. It wasn't my employer. It wasn't the boss. The Lord is the one who provided this for me. The Lord gave me the abilities to do this job. The Lord provided everything I need to succeed in this place. And so I need to take care of what I need to take care of. And then God will take care of the rest. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't you think if that we are faithful to the Lord and what He's called us as husbands to, then God will be faithful to us. Do you guys understand that? That's living in faith. Living in fear says, well, I got to do this and I got to do this, and always, you know, looking over your back about promotions and raises and all this stuff. Listen, you put God first. You put your family first. God will take care of you. He will. It's the scriptures. It's the promises of the Lord, you know, in and through our lives. Love your spouses in front of your kids. And to dads, you make sure wife is first and then work. And listen, I'm not saying this because I perfected it. I blow it all the time in this regard. For me, I do most of my sermon preparations and most of my study at home. I have an office in my home. And there have been specific moments that God has really spoken to me about certain things. And I'm like typical guy, once I get doing something on the computer, writing things, or I get very zoned in and focused. And I remember particularly, I think when Elise, when we had our first daughter, and I was really contemplating this, and I was there, and I was working on the computer. I think I was preparing for a Sunday message. And Elise came up to me, and she was probably about maybe two and a half years old. And she kind of was just standing next to me, and I just totally didn't even notice her. And I was just typing away, reading away, and then I finally looked, and she was there. And I remember exactly, I felt the Holy Spirit just speaking to my heart. And I had a decision to make right then and there. It wasn't a big decision. It was a little decision, but it had great ramifications. And as Elise was trying to get my attention, I could choose to keep working and continue to ignore her because I got to make the bacon. You know what I mean? It's a good excuse, isn't it? I got to provide for my family and whatnot. Or I could stop what I'm doing and tend to her and take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. And just spend just a little bit of time. And what God really spoke into my heart is, it was just this whisper in my heart. And the Lord just said, Sam, what are you going to teach your daughter? What kind of impartation? Are you going to tell your daughter that your work is more important than she is? It was a really simple phrase. And I stopped in my tracks. And I just stopped what I'm doing. I can always do it. I can go with less sleep. Do you know what I mean? I mean, not all the time, but every once in a while. I can go with less sleep if it means I can just spend a little bit more time with my kids. It's important. And these little things, you know, promises that you make, oh yeah, on Saturday I'll take you somewhere, and then, oh, work is here and whatnot. Every time you break one of those promises, what you're really telling your children is that your work is more important than they are. Now, I don't want to sound so harsh, you know, and things like that. So you just let the Holy Spirit speak to you, you know, in this regard. You don't need a conviction from me. I mean, you need the conviction from God and things. But let's take this with a grain of salt. It's important. The myth of working hard for the family by neglecting the family just does not cut it. It just doesn't work that way. You know, we are people of faith. The Bible tells us, Romans 1:17, for the righteous shall live by faith. And that's what we're called to. And so this is the advice. Dads, you love your wives in front of your kids. I try to find out the actual statistic, the source, but I heard this, and I didn't have enough time to get too much into it, but I heard that if you kiss your wife or kiss your husband before you go off to work, it says that you actually live 5 years longer on average. That's crazy. Right? I was trying to, I know the source is somewhere on the World Wide Web. I don't want you to start looking now, okay? It's sermon time. But I read it a few different times. that if you just simply kiss your wife or kiss your husband before you go to work, on average, you live 5 years longer. Obviously, when you kiss each other, it means there's harmony in the family and affection. And you know, those things go a long way in a lot of things that go on in our lives. So advice to dads, wife is first and then work. Now, to the women. Now, I have to say this because I'm a man. And so this is going to sound very self-serving, okay? And so, but I'm look at me not as a man. Just look at me as a pastor right now. Okay? You guys understand what I'm saying? And I had this conversation with my wife all the time, and she agrees with me as a man. But so I just because, you know, this might sound self-serving, but advice to wives and to mothers, in your family, the husband is first, and then the kids. Turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking, especially if they're mom, future mom, say, hey, husband is number one, and then the kids. Yeah. Guys, don't be so mean about it, okay? I saw some of you. Husband is first, and then the kids. The best way that you can raise your kids is to show that truth, that your husband comes first. You know, a lot of the marriage difficulties that I've noticed and things, a lot of it draws on this issue right here. And it's, I mean, it's easy to, you know, honestly, if you're going to pick, here you have this beautiful, beautiful baby, soft, cuddly, warm, affectionate, needs you, and yet the husband. You know, in our home, it was kind of like, it was very simple. It was like, well, Sam, you could take care of yourself. This kid, this baby needs me. Yes, of course. I'm not saying neglect your baby. Okay, so just put it in a room and to attend with your husband. No, of course, there's a balance there. But in your heart, the husband comes first. If there has been complaints on my end that I've complained to my wife about, one of the things is, because we have 3 girls, 7, 5, and 2. So it's challenging at times. And in a place, I say, you know, Lisa, sometimes I feel like I'm the last on the totem pole. And, you know, sometimes I do. I'm just being very honest. And Lisa, she's actually very good. Very rarely does this happen. But when it does, sometimes you know, can I just be honest? Sometimes it hurts. You know, why am I last? And I know I should be last at times, but when I'm always last, yes. You guys feeling me, you know? You feeling yourself? You guys know what I mean? But listen, women, I understand because it's so difficult. Your kids demand a lot of time. But that should not take us away from our primary responsibility. The husband came first, and then the kids came. That's usually the natural order. The husband comes first, and then the kids come. Sometimes in this broken world, it works out the other way. I'm not making a commentary on anything. But this is a natural order of life. And so as women, make sure your husband comes first. Annie Kim, who's in Beijing, planted the church there. My wife, and we're always so blessed by Annie's mom and dad. Annie's mom and dad literally raised the family in such a way the kids knew that husband, wife came first. Did you know they spend every single day they have a coffee date. Every single day, they'll go out to a coffee place and husband and wife will just sit there and just talk for hours. It's crazy. You know, even for me, I'm like, really? But it's just this reality. And whenever things happen, and Annie, you know, I was talking with all of them one time. And Annie, she was like, yeah, when I grew up, I knew that the most important person in my mom's life was my dad. And I knew that the most important person in my dad's life was my mom. And that's how she was raised. And that's how it didn't mean she was unloved. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about neglecting your kids. and whatnot. But what I'm talking about is don't make your kid out to be an idol. Don't go out of your way to take what God has blessed you and given you with and turn that child into an idol. I'm not saying anything about the child. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your heart and what you've done. And you could, and you very well can actually take away any blessing that comes because you placed your kids in a place that they don't need to, they don't deserve that place. It doesn't belong to them. They have their proper place in our hearts. And so you make sure that it comes in that way. And so wives, husbands come first and then the kids. And when you can love your spouse in that way in front of your kids, I'm telling you, something beautiful happens in your relationship. And something beautiful happens in your prayers as well. So how do you raise good kids? Number one, love your spouse in front of your kids. Number two, be a good example. Be a good example. The best thing that you can do to raise your kids is to love Christ. The best thing that you can do. And so be consistent. Let your spirituality on Sunday be the same Monday through Saturday. We mentioned this in early morning prayers. We're going through 2 Timothy. Don't use your words or your tongue on Sunday worshiping God and on Tuesday yelling at your wife. It's just not that consistent. Let there be a real consistency in our life. I would say most of us that came to the Lord later in life, myself included, I came to the Lord when I was a junior in college. And one of the reasons why, and probably people that you're ministering to that have a real aversion to God and faith in these things, is because the issue of hypocrisy. It's because there's people that are Christians that should act better, but they don't. And that's the reality of it. There's people that say something and should have a persona about them and a behavior about them, but that's not what they do. You don't know how many times I've ministered to people and try to lead them to Christ and introduce them to Jesus. And they have no issue with Jesus. They think Jesus is the man because he is the man. But yet, man, they have a huge issue with the church because the issue is hypocrisy. And so in your home, be consistent. Be consistent. Let your Sunday faith be relevant Monday through Saturday. What you do at home, how you are in the market, how you are at the restaurant, how you are at your school or at work or wherever you at. Let there be a consistency in our life in that way. Number two, regarding the parents, as parents, don't skip church. Don't skip church. You're teaching your kids when you always let other activities and a lot of things come in the way of your attendance. It's not just merely attendance, but being part of the fellowship in the body of God, the Christian life that we live out. Don't skip church. You're teaching your kids that worship and community is really not that important. Don't do that. Be consistent. Love Christ on Sundays together as a family. Sometimes you have to travel, and I understand that. Sometimes you have to go, but find a church, find a fellowship to go to on the Sabbath. And if you get in a situation where you just cannot find a place or it's just difficult to find a place in that way, have your own service. We were in Hawaii this past year. We're going to the school there for a couple weeks. And so we had a couple Sundays that it was quite difficult because we didn't have a car. We couldn't go out and find a church even though we wanted to. And so we had church together as a family. Our kids loved it. They loved it. I had Elise actually preach a little bit because we brought our kids' Bible with us. And we asked them, what story do you guys want to read? And so they picked the text. I added a little to it. You know, I feel like I had to teach on Sunday. So I added a little to it. You know, I should have just be quiet because they did a perfect job in itself. We had Emma pick out the songs to sing. I don't know if we took offering. I'm trying to think. I don't think we took offering. Right? It wasn't necessary for us. And we, you know, we had some little snacks, some refreshments afterwards. And our kids, in the next week we had that, they look forward to that. And we're trying to, as a family, be consistent with this and trying to do it every week. Sometimes it's kind of difficult just to have your family service, but just worship the Lord together as a family. Even if you must miss church in some way, you can always have church together as a family. And trust me, it's beautiful. In fact, let me just share this with you a little bit. You know, one of my the first church I ever went to was a Mormon church, believe it or not. My next door neighbor was a Mormon pastor. Down the street, my best friend was a Mormon. And I started going to church because on Sunday, they're like out of sight. So I was really lonely on Sundays. And my parents were Buddhists, so we didn't go to church at all. And it's amazing. And I started going to the church. You know what they do? They have their worship service on in the morning. And then they have worship service in the evening. That's a typical Sunday, a Sabbath day for a Mormon. In between, what they do, they're at home, and they actually have family service. And so my friends would tell me, one week he would be in charge of worship, the next week he was in charge of prayer, the next week he was in charge of providing snacks, the next week he was in charge of the word. And you know, Mormon families are all quite large. And so they all have a role to play in the service, and they grow together as a family. It's amazing. You know, and imagine if Mormons can do it, why can't the church? You know what I mean? Have you heard this phrase? If they're willing to do something for a lie, why shouldn't we be willing to do something for the truth? I mean, it's just absolutely amazing how that works out. And so for me, I mean, I was always quite inspired by that. And so our family, growing with my dad, and when we became Christians, my parents became missionaries. You know, we started having family services, and you know, it was wonderful. And we're trying to do it as a family. Start that. Live out this spirituality. Teach your kids to love Christ by you loving Christ and loving the body and the church. So don't skip church. Other side too, and this is not just kind of personal complaints, okay? So just follow along with me. Another thing that you can teach your kids in loving Christ in relation to church is don't be late for church. Don't be late. It's so easy to use our kids as an excuse. I know, things happen when you're walking out. Diapers happen, you know, kids go, they spill things. I understand that. And so you're late once in a while, that's fine. But this consistent tardiness, it's not a very good witness. You're teaching your kids that God is not someone to be respected and someone that you can easily take advantage of. That he's really not that important. And so don't be consistently late for the Sabbath as you come to this place. Do read the Bible with your kids and pray together, especially with young kids. Even if they don't understand, there's something so beautiful about reading. Our kids, and if you need one, I'll share the resources that we have. And there's so many wonderful picture Bibles. You know, Elise memorized all of them. You know, her favorite, because we always ask her favorite. Her favorite is actually the crucifixion. And at first, I was pretty bothered by that. I was like, what? Crucifixion? But there's something, I think it's the power of the gospel message. And she's just drawn to that. You know, Jesus dying and raising from the dead. She loves that part and the thing of the text. Read the Bible and pray with your kids together. It's something that it's the honor of parents. It's the gift of God to parents that we get to tuck our kids to bed at night and pray for them. It's powerful. You know, sometimes I'm out in meetings and whatnot, so I don't have that time. But I'll go into the room, you know, while they're sleeping and just bless them. Just bless them. It's an incredible privilege for me to be able to do that as a father. You know, live a life in such a way, be a good example, that when it's their time to trust Christ, there'll be an easy decision for them because you would have offered them an attractive faith. Amen? The last one, number three, and I spent a little time on this, bless your kids often. Bless your kids often. Matthew 19, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. Verse 13 to 15 says, "Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them, but Jesus said, 'Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' And after laying his hands on them, he departed from there." Important for us to always pray and bless our kids. The Bible tells us that our children were instruments of praise. In a few chapters later on, in Matthew 21, 15 and 16, this is what he says. "The chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children were crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' and they became indignant. and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to him, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast prepared praise for thyself?'" See, children have a special place in God's heart. In fact, if you look theologically, children, such a special place that children are given a guardian angel. I know angels, you know, there's all these crazy things about angels that are out there and whatnot. I'll tell you, so biblically, when you look in the scriptures, Matthew 18:10, listen to what it says. "See that you do not despise any one of these little ones," and the context is talking about children, "for I say to you that there are angels in heaven continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven." It's a bit unsure if adults have guardian angels. You know, I mean, there's not much in scriptures that point it, but it's definite scripture that points out that children have a guardian angel. And there's something, and if you notice kids, I noticed my kids when I was young, when they were young, and I noticed that every once in a while when they were lying down on their back, and they looked like they were playing with something. It was like weird. And you sit and they start giggling. Have you ever had that happen? And they're like, it's almost like something's tickling them. And they'll sit there, they're very young, and they'll sit there and they'll just like start doing this with their hands and start giggling. And sometimes I think, could that be their angel playing with them? You know, it's, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I can't imagine another more pure in heart than an infant before the Lord. And so, I thought maybe it's happening. They're so precious that God assigns an angel to each of our kids. It's the blessing of the Lord. And so it's the blessing of the Lord as parents that we get to bless them and pray for them. So I'm just going to finish this. Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is how we should bless our kids. And this was the prayer that I prayed for every child this morning when we dedicated them to the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, this is the end of Jesus' visit to Jerusalem. And in verse 52, the word says here, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man." This is the perfect prayer for your kids. This is how Jesus was prayed for and how he grew. So when he talks about he was increasing in wisdom, he's talking about he grew intellectually. He grew, he had wisdom, he had a sharp mind. And it's important for us to pray for our kids in that way. Not for them to get into Harvard. You know, not for them to, and I'm not talking about a status. I'm talking about to grow in wisdom, in intellect. And so we pray for, bless our kids to grow intellectually. Also in stature, we bless our kids to grow physically. That they would be strong. That they would have the right antibodies in their life to fight germs and diseases and these type of things. That they would grow physically. Bless our kids physically. And then in favor with God, that we would bless our kids spiritually. That they'd have a good relationship with God. They grow up loving God, having favor with the Lord. I mean, can you imagine the joy as a parent when your son and daughter, you know that they have the favor of God on their life? Notice all the names that our parents pick for their kids. Great men and women of the Bible that had favor with God. Anna, Jacob, Joshua, David. I mean, just perfect names, aren't they? Because they're about people of the Bible that had favor with God, and they want their kids to walk in that same kind of favor. And so we pray for our kids to grow spiritually. And then favor with man. We pray for our kids to grow socially and emotionally. That we want them to have friends. We want them to be happy. We want them to be in community with other kids and be blessed. You know, one of the great things, and I know that we talk a lot about praying for our kids and protection and whatnot. You know, one prayer that's often missed a lot of times when we pray for our kids, you should pray for your kids to have good friends. Because there comes a point in our lives, and I know I'm not at that stage yet. My kids are young, but your kids grow up and they're going to get to a stage where they're not going to listen to you anymore. It's sad. I know. Some of you guys are experiencing it now. And it's devastating. And they're going to start listening to their friends more than they listen to you or their youth pastor or someone else that's meaningful in their life. And so you need to pray for good friends in their life. It is a wise prayer. You need to pray for the company around them. You know, Paul tells us bad company corrupts good morals. And we should be very, very aware of that. And so you cover them. You pray for them socially. You pray that they would grow well emotionally. Even if they're sensitive in some ways, that sensitivity doesn't lead to a brokenness in their life. You know where they need affection from other men and boyfriends and girlfriends and those things come up. You pray that they would grow stable, grow emotionally, grow well socially in this way. This is the perfect way to bless our kids. Wisdom and stature, favor with God, favor with man, intellectually and wisdom, physically, spiritually, and socially, emotionally. Amen? We have been given a great task to be able to bless our families in this way. And again, like I said during the dedication, not just the parents and not the grandparents. That's not the sole responsibility. It's the whole body of Christ working together. And so my charge to you this morning is, let's do a good job. Amen? Let's close our eyes. And I want to do something today in prayer. Just very simply. If you are a parent here in this sanctuary right now, can I just invite you to stand? It is a tough job that you have. It is a job that requires the work of God, the grace of God, and the whole community to do it well. And as the worship team leads us, and I know that at Solomon's Porch, you take this responsibility to heart, that this is important for you. And what I want to do is I just want the body to come alongside of you. And in one sense, if you've not felt supported, for whatever reason, I want you to feel supported before we leave today. Amen? And so if you are not quite blessed yet to have kids, then I want you to go and find somebody here who's standing up, and I want you to lay hands on them. I want you to pray for them as a husband, as a wife. They put each other first before work and their kids, that they be good examples of the Lord, and that you would spend time, and that just they would have the heart, the time, the wisdom to continue to bless their kids. Can we do that? So everyone who's sitting down, I want you to move from your seat. And I want you to find somebody, and I want you to bless them with prayer. It's tough. You're going to find out soon yourself as well. It's tough raising kids. It's easy having kids. It's simple. It's tough raising kids. It's even tougher raising kids well. And so let's pray for our friends in this way that have kids, and let's ask God for a breakthrough in their life right now. Let's lift each other up before the Lord. Pray that they would love Jesus first and foremost.
Be the reason that I
also for their relationship with their spouse right now. Pray that they would put each other first before work and before kids. Ask God's hand upon them. They would love their spouse with all their heart. Sing this together as we close our service. Sense from the Lord, and I want to pray for you after this service, and I don't want to embarrass you or anything like that. I felt like there may be some people here in this room that are actually trying to have kids, and it's become very difficult for you, and it's a source of pain in your life. We just want to pray for you. There's nothing wrong with you. It's not a curse. Just ask God to do something in your life. And so after the service, you can just come up to the front, and we're just going to minister to you. You know, as you feel led, and just bless and ask God's blessing to flow through your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. God, we are so blessed as a church, God. We're blessed as a family of God by gifting us, Lord, so many wonderful kids, Lord. Lord, these kids, and even though I have three of my own, God, they belong to you. They're yours. We are stewards, God, as a father, God, and as a church, of these gifts that you give us. And help us, God, to steward them well. Help us to raise them well, God. Lord, the best thing that we can do as husbands and wives is love one another. The best example that we can give, God, is to love you first. And so give us the strength as families and as a bigger family, the body of Christ, to do that well, that your kids, God, would come into glory knowing Jesus. So we thank you for the privilege. Now help us walk that privilege out, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Say hello to someone next to you. Say thanks for praying for me.